Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to House Smarts Radio with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
Hey, I like being the go-to guy.
Good morning.
It's me, your go-to guy, Lou Manfredini, and House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 877-2134-LOU. Huh, what have you been doing this week? Well, you don't have to think about it here. We can spend 3 hours talking about painting and caulking and fixing your leaky basement and you're redoing your driveway. You don't have to think about anything else. You just have to pick up the phone and give us a call. This hour of our show is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and by Ace Hardware. Good morning to Lindsay. Nice to see you this morning.
Good morning.
You got kind of people can't see you on the radio, but you got kind of a Lucy Lou thing going.
Cindy Lou Who.
We're over here. Right? So very good. Good morning. Nice to see you. Joe Brand, Don Kleppen, nice to be with you guys this morning. How we doing, fellas?
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Lou. Doing well.
Yeah? Everything's good?
Oh, yeah. Sunny. Ooh, yeah. Beautiful morning. Yeah.
You know, a little bit later on this morning, I'm going to have a conversation with a professor from Penn State University about indoor air quality. And Lindsay and I have gone back and forth about, you know, obviously when we were interviewing him, you know, we play these fun little rejoins with music. And so, you know, air is the topic, you know, indoor air quality. And so Lindsay has already set up a really good song that, you know, you'll get. But then after the interview, Don, you know, I was going to do something a little bit more abstract. And we both commented, like, well, nobody would get that. And I said, Don Kleppen would.
I'm tuning in now. Now I can't wait for this.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, pressure's on. But it, you know, and so and then he, I just wait for it until after 8:30 this morning, and we'll have that conversation. So
sweet tease, nice right there.
Right, exactly. So 877-2134 Lou is our phone number. 877-213-4568 is our number. All you got to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. I lost you here. And we're happy to help you this morning. A bunch of stuff going on. A little bit later on this morning, my oldest son is his 27th birthday tomorrow. And for those of you who have listened to me for a long time, 25 years on this radio station, he was 2 when we started. I found a little piece of audio gold from when he was a kid. You know, one of the things that's so unique for your generation of parents, Lindsay, is you have all this technology at your disposal that 27 years ago we didn't have.
Right.
Like,
sure.
If you wanted to take a video, you had to pull out the video camera, right? It wasn't the phone that you could do something. Or the one thing for you young parents with little kids, and I know you're taking a bunch of videos, but the audio of your kids, if you can record their voices, you know, I've got some rejoins that your girls have done, which to me, it just is the sweetest thing to hear those voices. Because now, I mean, Quinn, who does his own podcast, I mean, and you know, Deep Dish Sports Talk, which Joe Brand's been a guest on.
Fantastic podcast.
Right. Well, because you were on it. And even Joe. Listen to Joe's deep voice, right? Think about, I want to hear Joe Brand when he was, you know, 5 years old or 4 years
Nobody
old.
Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody
I'm sure he was like,
hello,
that.
Hello, it's me, Joe.
Right? And so Joe, the thing is, get as much recording audio of your kids now, and then obviously with the video with the phones and stuff. But I have this little piece that's from I'll play after 9 o'clock this morning, that is a little piece of a phone message that my brother-in-law Matthew saved and sent to me years ago that I've always had. And I'll set it up a little bit later on. It's pretty cute. So happy birthday, Quinn. And We want to hear from you this morning. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Our first caller, by the way, is sponsored this morning by bathfitter.com/Lou. Let's go to the phone lines right now and speak with Don, who is in Palos Park. Hey, Don, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a question about, a lot of people don't even know about these. The garage door openers, they're called jack shift, that they mount in the side of the door. LiftMaster makes one, and Genie came out with one.
You mean the...
Any thoughts on those?
You mean the keypad?
No, no, no. The opener, instead of being like on your ceiling, like the standard one
Yeah.
These mount on the side. LiftMaster has an 8500W, and Genie has a new one they came out with.
So they
look great.
Yeah.
It just looks like it would really work for me, but I don't know if they work well or they don't work well. Or
no, so you know the reason that those were developed was it had to do with height and size of the garage door in order to make it more compatible, meaning that you could use it in more areas. Both of those have been tested and around. I've seen them multiple times. I have zero issue with you if that's something. Do you have a challenge as far as a traditional opener or no?
No, absolutely not. It's a nice clean look, and that's why I like
it.
Super quiet.
Yeah, they're super quiet. You're right. They're very clean and slick. So everything, the motor and everything, for those that don't know, if you can imagine where your track is now, I mean, the track still goes up and, you know, the door lifts like it normally would. But instead of having that track in the center and the motor mounted, you know, basically above your car when you pull it in, it's all on the face of the garage right then and there. I love them. I think they cost a little bit more, right?
Right. They do.
Yeah. But it's a.
I think I'm using your guy Fix My Garage.
Oh yeah,
Will and Jack over there.
Oh yeah, Jack. I've
got
Jack Patak, and when you need a mortgage, call Christine Dupape. No.
Anyway. Hey, Lou, could I ask you one more quick question?
Sure. Of course.
I need to get a. We're going to replace the sump pumps, and I'm going to go to a Zoeller sump pump.
Yep.
But my plumber is telling me about a Zoeller water backup sump pump, which I have never heard of.
You know, I love the Zoeller pumps. I have zero problem with the Zoeller pump, but the problem that I have with the water backup is that it doesn't move as much water as your primary pump. Okay, so this is the key in any backup. Whatever your primary pump says it does, you know, 3,000 gallons an hour with the 10-foot lift or whatever it is, that backup's got to do the same thing. Because if it doesn't, as your boat is sinking, instead of using a 5-gallon bucket to bail it out, you're using a coffee cup.
Okay.
Capiche?
And also, it's more expensive, correct? Because you're using water no longer in the city, now in the suburbs, so you're paying a premium.
Well, I mean, look, in a backup situation, it's... I fundamentally have a problem with using water to get rid of water. Like, there's a disconnect there for me. So that's one part of it. The second part of it is, they don't move as much water as the primary pump. That's the key. So I would rather...
What do you recommend then?
Well, I mean...
as a battery backup.
I mean, I think Zoeller has a battery backup system too, if you want to keep it all in there. I'm totally blanking on what it's called. But also, local company here, the Basement Watchdog, has been around for a very long time, and they do make primary pumps as well. I prefer, personally, I would have no problem with you using a Basement Watchdog primary pump, too. I've had one installed in a pit at my house for years, and I've had zero problem with it. But I do like the Zoeller pumps. But their battery backup system is really good. They've got a really good switch that they have on there, and you know, it's a really good system. And if you upgrade to using a gel battery as opposed to a lead acid type of battery, you'll get more performance out of that, and it will move the same amount of water as your Zoeller. Okay.
All right, Lou. Thanks a lot for all the help, and the wife's going to be very happy that I got these questions answered.
Perfect. Well, all we want to do is make your wife happy. Believe me. It's 7:19 in the morning. My name's Lou Manfredini. You're not. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, I hear you. Sometimes it's tough to keep up with what Lou's talking about.
Okay, but the diatomaceous earth, you can actually use that in gardening.
I want you to buy a product called Concrobium Mold Control.
Concrobium.
Let me tell you, sometimes he has a hard time keeping up with us, too.
You listen to Dufour Dandini and Smart Radio.
Come on, keep up. What he said. You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I don't know when the last time I thought about Tears for Fears. I love this song. Welcome back.
I thought you didn't know it.
No, I know this song. I just haven't heard it in a long time. Welcome back, 7:23 in the morning. Guess what, Lindsay? Our next caller is going to get a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling. They're Chicagoland's premier design-build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, windows. Maybe you're working remotely and you don't have enough room in your house. Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace for your home. You probably should call them since you and David are sharing a desk. You can visit them at cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. And how about we send that out to Janine in Orland Park. Hey, Janine, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lou. How are you doing?
Doing great. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is I need some advice about getting our ducts cleaned. I had three resources, and I thought, you know what, I'm calling you because it drives me nuts. A local place came, well-known on the south side, and they said, you have eight ducts, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be $450. I said, well, okay. So then I called the guy that does our furnace, and we've gotten our furnace new. And they came over, sent a man, went in the laundry room and looked at the furnace and said, oh, this is a big job. He said, this would be $1,000 to take this apart and clean it well and blah, blah, blah. He said, it'd be $1,000. He said, that's crazy. Don't waste your money. You don't need your air ducts clean. This is a clean house, 1,200-square-foot condo. And I thought, this is crazy. And then I got another estimate over the phone. They said, oh, you have eight ducts. It'll be about $425 or whatever. I don't know what to do. We have a clean house. It's only a condo, 1,200 square feet. And
Janine,
I changed the filter month.
How long have you lived in this place? Or let me ask you this. How old is this place?
The building is 19 years old. We're in here 18.
Huh? Wow, I was going to say, wow, you were there before it was built. Those ducts were really clean. They didn't exist.
Oh, I was in my heart.
So you never have cleaned those things in 18 years?
I don't think so. I think that when we first moved in, somebody said get the ducts clean because of the construction mess.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We may have then.
All right, let me give you my 2 cents. I'm a proponent of cleaning the ductwork every seven to 8 years or so like that. It's not a bad idea. Now, even though your house is clean, okay, I'm sure you keep a nice clean house. There's just airborne. Later on today, we're going to talk with a professor out of Penn State. And we're going to talk about airborne particulate and things that's out there. And more than ever, especially this year with what's going on with this virus, we want to have that air be as clean as possible. The average to do a house is about $500 with a condo. I don't know why all of a sudden it's $1,000. That seems a little pricey. When you're talking with duct cleaners, okay, you're going to ask them about what is the process that they're going to use. Are they going to use a vacuum, and are they going to use an air-powered whip? And this air-powered
whip, okay.
Right. So this whip, they're going to put down into the ductwork, and it's going to make a bunch of racket when it goes through there, bang against the thing, and it's going to loosen up all of the debris, and then it's going to suck all that. They're going to have a big vacuum that they're going to set up in your furnace. I assume you have a mechanical closet or something like that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's in the laundry room. It's 5 years old. It's almost new.
The furnaces, but in other words, they're gonna cut a hole in the big ductwork, and they're going to connect this. They're going to connect this vacuum to it, and then they're going to patch it when they're done. So, you know, you should be paying around $500, but you really need somebody that knows what they're doing. Now, on the south side, you know, we have a sponsor here, and maybe you already contacted them. Was Dykstra?
That's who I did have.
Yeah, and so
was they were wonderful. He was. He said, "Wow." He said, "This is no big deal. We are on an elevated first floor. The first floor is our garage, mm-hmm. the garages, and they have to run the tubes up." And he said, "But you have to take this tube apart, you know, on the first."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "This is a big job." He said, "Is your house dirty?" And I said, "Oh God, I'm calling Lou tomorrow."
All right. Well, so here's what I'm going to tell you. I know the people at Dykstra, and they're good people.
Yes.
If they tell you that maybe you don't need to do this, then I'm going to defer to them. And here's what I would recommend to you. Do you have a vacuum cleaner with a hose?
Yes.
Okay. And your vents that you have in the condo, are they in the floor or are they in the ceiling?
Ceiling.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable, or do you have someone that you could ask to take those covers off and put the vacuum with the hose in those vents?
Well, not really. I suppose I could dig somebody up.
Well, I mean, if you dig somebody up, they're probably not going to be able to stand up on the ladder, but that's none of my business. But my point is, the vast majority of the dirt and the debris is in the last 5 feet of that run.
Oh, okay.
And so if you can vacuum all that out and you want to do it yourself, you'll save a bunch of money. I will tell you, Janine, is that I want you to upgrade your furnace filters to pleated filters this winter. I want everybody to do
really?
That. Really? Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I can do that. I don't mind doing that at all, because I thought you weren't supposed to because of the stress on your regime.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that, look, with this virus going around right now, and I realize there's a lot of HVAC people that say, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. It's bad for your system. I've never bought into that. That these companies, 3M and even Ace, makes their own pleated filters. Even the just the simple upgrade of a pleated filter, like the Ace brand, is 10 times a better cleaner than those spun fiberglass. And making sure that the air is as clean as possible. If you get to the ultra allergen that's by Filtrete, it's an expensive filter. It's like $15-18. But it captures bacteria and virus. Buy three of them, and I want you to put one in November, December, January. Actually, buy four. Every month, I want you to swap it out. Your indoor air quality, that is worth the investment, especially what we're going through this year, to make sure that you have the right stuff. So please do that. I appreciate the phone call. It's 7:31 in the morning.
You've got your radio tuned in to Lou Manfredini. Now back to your host right here on House Smarts Radio.
I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big fine car. I got everything that a man could want. I got more than I could ask for.
7:37 in the morning. 877-213-4 Lou is our phone number. Good morning, everybody. Oh, what a weekend. Get outside and have some fun. You said you had a little movie at night. What's the best part? No bugs.
Oh, we did an outdoor movie. Yes, we projected it on a fence outside, and the girls had a blast. No bugs.
No bugs.
Cool enough. They
oh, my gosh. It is so nice outside. This is like a gift. This is an absolute gift, exactly. This weather, so get out there and enjoy it. Let me tell you, open up those windows. We're talking about indoor air quality. Get out there and open up those windows, because that's going to make a huge difference to the air quality inside your home. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. This is Kathy, who's in Roselle. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Lou. I have a question for you on a furnace.
Okay.
Okay, when my furnace turns off, it makes, like, at the end of the cycle, it makes like a, I don't know if you want to call it a popping sound or whatever, but it makes a noisy sound that actually you can hear upstairs.
What does it sound like?
Sounds like a boom, kind of like.
Can you make the sound so I can hear it?
Well, I don't know, but I'll try. How about that?
That was pretty good. Do it one more time.
Great.
Do it one more time. That was really good.
If
can
I
we, can we just can
if
we
it
just,
was doing
we,
it now, I'd bring the phone
can,
down
can
there.
We, Kathy, can we just have you do those sounds all the rest of it until 10 o'clock? Because that's really funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So it could be a myriad of things. It could be. Well, let me ask you this: you're in a house. Is this in the basement?
Right, and I have an April Air too. So the one guy told me that. It could be the April Air, and he could do something with the water, something or other.
Oh, okay. So let's try. Is it doing it all the time?
Well, I really just noticed it this year, and my furnace is, I don't know, probably.
No. But in other words, you're noticing it now, and when it turns off, you're hearing, I bet what you're hearing is the solenoid on the humidifier turning on and off. So let's try this as a test. Do you know where the dial is for the humidifier?
Yeah, and it's he set it to what it should be for. I know that.
Okay, so go there, and he's probably set it at like 35%, and you'll see it's a dial. I want you to and remember where it was, okay? And maybe you take a little pencil or something and mark it. I want you to turn off the humidifier because, really, quite frankly, today you don't need it. And then see if that sound goes away. If the sound comes back, then we know it's the humidifier, and it's probably just. So there's a solenoid, there's a basically a switch that is probably set up to run the way your April Air goes. When the furnace kicks on, this thing kicks on, and it starts water starts to flow, okay? The furnace kicks off, it shuts it off, and there can be that little click sound. I have the same sound in my furnace at our house, and it's exactly what it is. It's not anything to worry about, but if you just want to know what it is, then turn it off for today. If the sound
I did that.
Okay.
And it was at 30, by the way.
It was at 30. Okay, so now wait till the furnace shuts off and see what happens.
Okay.
And if it...
All right.
And,
well,
and it isn't...
You know,
and it isn't...
It's any, enough that if you're upstairs... You hear it. I mean, it's annoying.
Maybe the solenoid needs to be replaced, or maybe it's they can change that out, but just localize that. And if it's annoying you, then have them come out and change that solenoid on the April Air humidifier.
Okay, got it.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU is the number. This is Dan, who's in Orland Park. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm looking for an efficient space heater for my garage that I don't have to permanently attach. The garage itself is 20 by 20 with insulated walls and ceilings. There used to be an oil-based heater that you could turn on. It would heat the oil. And I was wondering, do they still make them? Are they safe and are they efficient?
They do make them. They are safe. They are efficient, but I don't know that it'll heat your garage.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's a big space, and while the garage is insulated, even if the door is insulated, you know, there's a, you know, it's not super tight. And
yeah, right.
Let me ask you this: you want to heat the garage for what reason? To putz around in there, or just to make your life, you know, what temperature do we want to get that garage to?
Oh, I would say probably around 70. Right now, with no heater in there at all, it usually stays 20 to 25 degrees warmer than the outside temperature.
Even in the middle of winter?
In the winter, right.
And do you want to heat...
And I just want you to be able to work in there and keep it comfortable and turn it off and on when I need it.
Okay. So it isn't anything that I always want the garage to be 70 degrees. It's like, if I'm going to go out there and do some stuff, I'm going to turn this thing on. And is there a reason you don't want to mount anything?
Well, I'd hate to. We've got a brick house with an attached garage. I'd hate to put another hole through the brick wall.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What is the two things? What's the closest gas supply?
There's one in the garage.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do, my friend. We're going to buy a ventless natural gas wall heater that does not need to be vented.
Okay.
And you can either special order one out of your local Ace, or you can go to one of the home centers. They'll stock them. And these are ventless. You'll pipe a half-inch flex line to it, and there's a wall bracket that you mount, two holes. You don't have to go through anything. If it's you said it's drywalled?
It's drywalled over the brick.
Yeah, but so in other words,
studded with insulation.
So that little metal plate that I'm going to have you mount, you can go stud to stud right onto the wall, right?
Right.
Okay, so you're going to mount this metal plate. You take this, you know, once you locate wherever your gas line is, this thing literally just hangs on it. It weighs 20 pounds, not even 20 pounds. It probably weighs 10 pounds. And you pipe it, put a valve on there. I have had one of these heaters on a back porch in our house in Chicago that in the wintertime I put storm windows in. It's 20,000 BTUs. I can get that thing up to 75 degrees in the dead of winter, and it's uninsulated.
Okay.
Now,
is there a brand name you would recommend?
I think the one you'll find is, I think it's M-Glow is the one. But what we're looking for is a ventless natural gas wall mount heater. You will install in there a carbon monoxide detector for sure. Okay.
Okay.
And and these things crank out the heat. And what's nice about it is, you're going to go, Dan. You're going to be like, oh, I'm going to go out there and you know whatever. You'll go out there. It's got a little clicker on the top. It's got a pilot light. But I turn mine when I'm not using mine. I turn it off and I turn the gas off. You could leave the pilot light on, but you know why? I just go and I relight. Right. I relight the pilot. You push the button. You click, click, click. You turn the dial a little bit. The pilot light lights. You wait for a couple seconds. You fire that up. In 10 minutes, you'll take the chill out. In 20 minutes, you'll be at 70 degrees.
Okay, that's perfect then. That's perfect. Thank you, Lou. I really appreciate it. And I was kind of at a loss what to use. And if I don't have to drill through the wall. I have one other question. I once had a ventless gas heater in the basement, and it throws. It used to throw out like carbon.
Not anymore.
Into the area,
imagine,
and I got rid of it because.
Yeah. Imagine this.
Do these throw out that carbon?
No. Imagine this. This is your. This is the same clean burning flame that your stovetop has.
Okay.
Exactly what it is.
Okay. Okay. That's perfect. I really appreciate you taking the time, and you and your people be safe and take care.
That's very nice of you. Thank you. You as well. It's 7:47 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, here with you. I'm your guy. Remember? I'm your guy. 877-2134-LOU. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Sacrete or Quickcrete. Quickcrete. Quickcrete.
And House Smarts Radio.
And has a 4.9 Google rating.
He really does know what he's talking about. Sometimes he just has a hard time getting it out.
Joining me on the phone line is Kat Kataringala. I had it.
Ding! Ding-a-ling-a-ding-ding-ding-dong!
Now back to Lou Manfredini taking your calls live.
Karingala.
Karingala. There you go. You're doing great, Lou. Don't worry about it.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
I had it. 877-2134-LOU.
All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet.
Mary is in Arlington Heights. Hi, Mary. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Mr. Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
I have like a three-part question. It might be too much of your time, so you can tell me. But
part one. Go. Part one.
Part one. Okay, I have a front porch deck, and my grandpa built it, so it's got a lot of sentimental value. And I know it hasn't been treated for a long time, if it ever was. It's about 25 years old. And they've had indoor-outdoor carpet on it over the years. We took it off 6 months ago, and it's starting to look a little cracked. All the boards on the end are a little bit deteriorated, but it's in good shape. I don't know if I should just recover it with carpet or maybe cover it for the winter and not do anything. And I did find a painter who actually has an opening in his schedule because of this weather, and he said he could wash it today and stain it on Monday. and I'm a little overwhelmed as what to do because I don't know what's best for it.
He's going to stain it, not paint it.
Stain it, because we don't want it painted.
Got
we just
it.
Want
good.
It to be
no, 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 that's
protected.
Good. So here's the thing. If the wood is in decent shape and you know, even if there's a little bit of deterioration, that's okay. But
okay.
What I would do there is have them wash it. You probably need to do a little bit of sanding. You need to talk to the painter about that because with old wood like that, it becomes, it has like, it gets this wood sheen where it gets very hard when it's older like that and it doesn't absorb the stain and you don't want the stain to peel. Now, here's the thing. If he washes it today, he can't stain it today.
No, Monday, he said.
Okay,
yeah.
So with the dry weather, that's great. But how big is this porch?
It's 12 by, 8 by 20.
Okay, so you're going to say, hey, if you got the schedule and you can do all that, that's great. But I talked to this friend of mine, because we're friends now, and you want to sand at least the deck portions of it just to open up the fibers of the wood to absorb the stain, and then you want to have the painter use a oil-based semi-transparent stain.
Okay, semi-transparent. He told me what he likes to use. I don't know if I can say it.
Sure.
He said he likes to use Superdeck. I know you like Panafin.
Superdeck is a great product. I have no problem with that.
Okay, is that that? Is that oil-based semi-transparent?
It is.
Okay.
All right, part two.
Part two is if I use an oil-based stain, can I eventually put the carpet back on, or will it make mold? Now, the carpets they've used in the past have a jute backing, and I guess, you know, it's breathable, call it.
Do you want the carpet?
I think so because we get a lot of pine needles and mm-hmm. things, and it seems like it keeps it. It's I don't know how this porch has done so well, but it's been carpeted the whole time, so I'm thinking maybe it's a good thing for it. It's a northern exposure. I don't know if
yeah.
that makes a difference.
The staining of it doesn't matter. You can put the carpeting over the top of that. It will protect the wood, you know, even underneath the carpeting. So
it won't mold or anything with the water?
Not at all.
Pooling on the oil?
Yep. You're fine.
It won't mold?
It will not mold.
Okay.
Part three.
But he does have to sand it.
He needs to sand it before the stain.
If he can't sand it, I should wait.
Well, I mean, it's just light sanding. Tell him I'm not looking to make it look like a piece of furniture. Just to open up the pores, like literally with a sanding pad on the end of a pole. He goes there, opens up those fibers a little bit, and then let that cure. But you're not going to put the carpeting right away, right?
I don't know if it will, with the weather getting bad, I don't know if it,
meaning
should I
wait
that, a certain amount of time?
I need you to wait 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
If you decide you want to do that.
Okay.
All right, and your third part?
If nothing happens for some reason, can I cover it, the porch, with something?
As
like
in?
A carp? Or?
Well, but don't you want to use the porch?
Pardon? Well, we don't need to because we can get in and out of the front door. It's to the side.
If nothing happens,
so I didn't know
I
that would
if nothing happens, I wouldn't put a tarp on there because that's going to cause problems down the line. I would just leave it raw. It's been there that long, and it won't kill you to go through one winter without it being covered like that. But if you've got the chance to get the guy coming in now, why not do it? I think it'd be a great idea. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 7:56 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Well, Mr. Castorini, what do you think?
$10,800.
That seems like a lot.
Look, there are three kinds of pipe. There's the kind of pipe you have, which is garbage. Then there's bronze, which is pretty good, unless something goes wrong. And something always goes wrong. And then there's copper, which is the only pipe I use. It costs money.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
It costs money because it saves money.
And House Smarts Radio.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Welcome back, 8:10 in the morning.
Down,
this hour of House Smarts Radio.
And it burns,
sponsored
burns,
by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Dykstra Home Services. 877-2134-LOU. You know, we have, you know, our friends Kevin and Kristen live out in Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah, they're celebrating their wedding anniversary today. Happy anniversary, Kevin and Kristen.
Wow, it's a big weekend. Happy anniversary.
It's a big weekend, but this is an interesting, quick little interesting story that I think you'll find it something. So when my wife and I first got married and we bought our first house in Wrigleyville, we were living on this street, Marshfield. And we bought this house, the House of Brown. I've talked about the House of Brown before. And there was this young couple that lived across the street from us. And so this neighborhood was mostly older folks. Like, they'd be people my age now and older. And there were these, here we are, this young couple, newly married, 3 years, I think, living in this house. And before Quinn was born. And and then this young couple, I would see this guy, Kevin. I didn't know his name. He drove a Ford Ranger pickup. And I had a pickup truck, too. And I was like, oh, that guy's got a pickup truck. And I just kind of waved to him. We never really, you know, did anything other than see that they're a young couple living across the street. Have I ever told you this story before? Okay, so all of a sudden, so anyway, now backtrack. Mary Beth, when she was in college, studies in Austria. And her friend Pam and some other group of friends. And he's this one guy that she became friends with is from San Francisco. And he tells, and so just remember that part of the story. Okay, stay with me. Joe, you with me? Don, you with me?
Always, okay, of course,
stay
yes.
Stay with the story. So on a Saturday, we see the guy coming out of the door, and he's got a tuxedo on. And we're like, hey, I think that couple is going to a wedding or whatever. Well, it turns out they were getting married, okay, on that day, like going to their wedding. And her friend, I think her friend's name was Ken, says, oh, yeah, I'm coming to Chicago for a wedding. And my friend Kevin's getting married. I'm like, oh, that's so funny. You know, this is like we put two and two together. He grew up with Kevin across the street. And so this guy that Mary Beth studied with abroad in Austria like 4 years, 5 years prior to this, introduces us to this couple that was living across the street from us. That has become like our dearest friends for almost 30 years.
That's
isn't that cool.
That's really cool.
Isn't
that's
that a fate. Cool story? And I mean, and so like when Mallory went off to college, you know, she went to Denver. She went to University of Denver for her first year. And Kevin and Kristen live in Denver. And they were like surrogate parents for Mallory out there. You know, it was like you're moving home, basically. You know, they took such good care of them. And so they are just the loveliest couple. They have two beautiful daughters, and one of them is engaged to be married as well, Bridget. So congratulations to her. And so we love you guys. Happy anniversary, and it's a great story.
Lou, can I add on to that story?
Sure.
So doing Kane County Cougar games, 1 year we had a Taiwanese pitcher. His name was Kai Wei Lin, and we were playing in Wisconsin, and he was pitching against the other team. Their starting pitcher was Taiwanese too. They were they lived 20 minutes apart in Taiwan, and they never knew who each other was. And then they faced off against each other in Beloit, Wisconsin. It was the first time they met.
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool. That is cool. I love those kinds of stories. That's really neat.
It's like we're all very far away from each other, but we're all still very close.
It is a big world, but yeah, we all gotta, you know what? Now more than ever, we got to get along, right? For sure. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. How about that, just this beautiful day out there? Let's go out there and enjoy this beautiful day. Get outside if you can, because it's just wonderful. This is Steve calling in, who's in Franklin Park. Hey, Steve, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's going on? How may I help you this morning?
Well, trying to deal with chipmunks, and not Alvin and Simon and those guys, but the problem is that we've got a house that's got a fieldstone basement, and I've got siding that comes down. I've tried using great stuff with steel wool back, you know, underneath there, but they seem to still get in between the siding and the wall. I've tried using the high-frequency plug-ins to see if that would get them to go away, and I even had Terminix come out and put out, they put rat traps out, but that didn't work. So,
okay, a couple,
Colin, maybe you got an idea.
I do have a couple of ideas, and this is something I've spoken about, you know, the past few years. So the company Bonide, who makes a whole line of products, they make a product for moles and voles called the Bonide Sonic Spike. I can hear you writing.
Bonide Sonic Spike.
Sonic Spike. See, it's not easy. Not easy to remember. All. Mm-hmm. These people could come up with better names, so it's not hard for us to, you know, alliterate all the time. Anyway, this is looks like a spike you'd if you're driving a rail into you're working on a rail line. It's a little bit longer than that. Mm-hmm. You put C batteries in it, and where you have this chipmunks, you're going to take a broom handle and you're going to poke a hole in the ground, and then you're going to stick this thing in the ground, and it's going to chatter underground and sound like a rodent in distress. Now, I don't even think the package says that it works for chipmunks, but it does. I had a huge problem with chipmunks years ago. I put one of these out. It works for about a 30-foot span. I would buy two of them. The battery operated ones are less expensive. They're probably about 16-18 bucks a piece or something like that. And put it in the ground, and once you retrain these little rodents to go somewhere else, they won't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, Bonide also makes a product called Mouse Magic. These are these little sachets that you open up, and they actually smell quite pleasant to you and I, but it's an odor that they don't like. So where you place the sonic spikes near the home, I want you to put a couple of these outside. They'll last about 30 days. But
okay.
I think that within a couple of weeks, you will you'll solve this problem. Bonide,
okay.
Sonic Spike.
The Sonic Spike and then Mouse Magic. Okay. We'll give it a go.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. I hope you have a safe rest of your day, and make sure you get out there and enjoy this beautiful weather.
We're going to try to. Great sunshine today.
Yeah,
thank
beautiful.
You.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling. 877-2134-LOU. Hey, you know what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. Everyone's so busy today, right? So staying organized is key to a successful household, and Tom can help. He's now offering custom closet systems. I dream of organized shoes or a simpler laundry system. Anyway, to save this mom time, count me in. Let Tom's designers create walk-in closets, pantries, mudrooms, and more. Available in a variety of colors, made with quality materials, even a system that cuts the install time by 60%. For custom closets without the custom price, stop by Builder's Supply Outlet today. WGN.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
He's taking your calls live.
Where are you getting this kind of radio? Nowhere.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
Cracks me up every time I hear that. Just do it. Just read it. Just read it. It's such a good story. 877, he does love you. 877-2134-LOU. 877-213-4568. Kathy is in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Kathy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So I got a new refrigerator, and I never had an ice maker before.
Look at you living the high life. Wow. How is it? It just keeps making ice. It's amazing. You just open it up and go, oh, my gosh, look at all that ice. It's amazing. No, I'm kidding.
That's very true. I feel a little spoiled.
I know. Look,
but
it's
not hooked up. It's not hooked up.
Well, what do you mean? Wait. What do you mean it's not hooked up? You had it delivered. Is the ice maker in the freezer?
Well, they're coming to put the ice maker into the refrigerator.
Right. But you don't.
It's a separate part.
But you don't have a water line.
But I never had an ice maker.
So you don't have a water line.
Can me and my son do that? Is that a big job?
Well, okay. So tell me, where is the refrigerator In relationship
in to... In regards to...
Well, to two things. Do you have a basement?
Not... I have a family room. No, not a basement.
So, like, if I'm standing... If I'm standing in front of the refrigerator, I'm looking at the refrigerator, uh-huh. What's underneath my feet? No basement. Are you in a house or a condo?
I'm in a townhouse where half of it is garage and the other half is a family room.
Okay. Where is the
I know what you're...
Go ahead.
Yeah, the water line to when I turn the hose outside you're thinking about, I think. I can't hook it up to the bathroom water line, which is on the other side of the wall.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well...
The powder room.
Is right... So if I'm looking... So if I pull the refrigerator out... That wall mm-hmm. on the other side is the powder room.
It's 4 feet over to the left.
Have you ever done any waterline work, you and your son?
No.
I would not. This would not. This would not be the job I would start with.
Okay.
What
can I ask one more quick question?
Well, wait. Hold on a second. You're gonna with a plumber.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have to open up a wall. Or let me ask you this. Where the fridge is, where's the kitchen sink?
Oh, opposite side.
Oh, okay. So they're going to probably have to open up that wall and then actually uh-huh. sweat a piece of copper pipe and actually put a valve, because it needs to have its own valve
uh-huh.
in the wall that you can turn on and off.
Oh, you're that sounds too big for us.
Yeah, you're so close to having ice that you don't have to fill up a tray. So now that you're doing all this, you just need to hire a plumber to come out and do this work.
Okay. I will do that. I mean, I'm not afraid to try some things, but I'd like to know what the limits are.
I don't want you to do this.
Okay.
So a couple different companies you can call for this. PermaSeal offers plumbing services. So does, I believe, Perfect Home Services. They're plumbing and heating.
Oh, that's great to know that. Right. Perfect Home Services and PermaSeal.
Right.
Okay. One more question. We took off the carpeting off the stairways to the upstairs. We stained it, looks beautiful, but now they creak. I saw somebody from this old house say that if you find the stringers, you can put a nail in it and it'll stop the creaking. Do you believe that?
I love the people at this old house, but a nail's not going to do it. You have to do a screw. Can you see under the stairs? Like, do you walk down to a basement?
Yeah, but you can't see. There's a wall.
Okay. So the stringers, so that you know what that is when you walk up your stairs, the wood that's on the sides, on both sides, those are the stringers. The creaking is probably in the center, and so it's the riser of the step, you know, the kicker, the thing your toe hits. That's where the creaking...
I do, yeah.
That's where the creaking's at, but you have to get under there to do that, and I wouldn't use a nail, I would use a screw. No disrespect to the fine people at this old house, because they know exactly what they're talking about.
Right.
But a nail won't do it. A screw will.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let that one go, too.
Right. Right. If we can get the ice maker to work, all is well in your world, right?
Yeah. Drink on Saturday night with ice. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Keep listening, because later on we've got our Whiskey Acres drinks coming up, too. Which I think you'll find super interesting. Lindsay's What?
She can make a lot of money on that ice.
Right. She could sell it. Right. Exactly. 877-2134 Lou. This is Ralph in Surf City, North Carolina. Hey, Ralph. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou, and thank you for taking my call. I've learned a lot from you every Saturday morning, and I appreciate it.
Very kind. What's going on?
I have a problem with my pilot light on my propane gas fireplace. It lights, but it doesn't stay lit. I push the button, then I hit the striker, and it lights. After turning it, of course, to pilot, I hit the striker, it lights. And I leave the button pushed in for about a minute or so, maybe a little longer, but when I release the button, the pilot light immediately goes out.
Okay, so there's a thing called a thermocoupler that is, when you see that flame, do you see like a little metal kind of rod that the flame is touching when it lights?
Yes, I see it.
Okay, take a little, with the pilot light off, do you have any steel wool or a little small little wire brush or anything laying around?
Yes, sir.
Take the end of that and try and clean that little rod with the steel wool dry and just clean it all up, shine it all up. Make sure that that flame is touching that rod like it just should be kissing it, right? If it's not, sometimes the little orifice that's the flame's coming from, you have to slightly bend it or bend the rod a little bit so that when you light that flame, that flame should be touching that thermocoupler. That's there to tell the gas valve that the flame is actually on.
If
you clean this and it still doesn't work, you need to replace that thermocoupler, and it should have a little screw that you undo and then a wire that you follow back and unplug. And if you go to a hardware store and say, I need one of these, they should be able to provide you with that.
Terrific. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Good luck. Have a great day. Stay safe. I really do appreciate you calling all the way from North Carolina. That sounds great. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the indoor air quality. And in particular, I want to make sure that Don Kleppen is listening afterwards when we come back after the interview and stuff, because I'm going to play the song that, well, Lindsay, you know, picked this, and I'm really happy with it all. This is Inside Baseball.
You picked it. All right.
No, this is all Inside Baseball.
All right.
But then I immediately, when the other song that I wanted to use, I go, this I think is cool. And she's like, I don't think anybody's going to get it. And I go, Don would. Speaking of Don. Oh, no, I don't know if it's Don.
Oh, it's
8:30
me.
In the morning. Is this, are you
totally.
Is this your news?
This one will be me for sure.
This will be okay. It's 8:30 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News.
Breathe a little easier. Lou's here to help. Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, on House Smarts Radio.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. I am Lou Manfredini. Thank you so much for sticking with us. Okay, indoor air quality has been a hot topic, especially as the winter months approach. I wanted to talk to somebody that had some expertise in what happens inside buildings, both commercially and residentially. So we wanted to talk with someone that has that experience. Joining me on the phone line is Professor William Bonfelt, who is a professor of architectural engineering at Penn State University. Professor, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Luke. Glad to be with you.
Tell me a little bit about what you do at Penn State.
I'm a professor in the architectural engineering department where I teach mechanical system subjects, so heating, ventilating, and air conditioning, and I do research that is mostly about indoor air quality, although I also do some energy efficiency-related research, and I'm very active in ASHRAE, American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers, as a service activity.
When COVID-19, you know, first hit this country, and I actually, you know, was kind of coming across the globe, had you and your colleagues, as it was formulating, where they were saying this was an airborne virus, where it was, you know, the consensus seems to be that it's airborne. Did it spark some conversations amongst yourselves about going like, wow, this is going to have an effect on indoor air quality and how we manage it?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, this all developed very rapidly. We first heard about it right at the end of the year. And we talked about it a little bit at conferences in January and February, but come March, it was clear that it was going to be very serious and that it seemed very likely that it was an airborne disease. So we would be needing to do things to protect people in terms of HVAC design and operation.
Right. Now, I mean, this is always, indoor air quality, obviously, has always been part of the equation in your, you know, educating, you know, future engineers and design of buildings, but now it seems like there's an opportunity here or a conversation that has to happen about upping that, right? I mean, it's all about ventilating and filtering and even exchanging the air inside our buildings.
Yes, I think there's certainly an opportunity and awareness about indoor air quality in the general public and even the professional community that wasn't there before. I've been talking about how we need to do better for 10 or 15 years, but yes, ventilation and filtration are the two main things that we do to control indoor air quality, and we need to think more seriously about both of them.
What about when you think about like office buildings and school buildings, you know, what is the general formula when it comes to exchanging that air or filtering the air that, you know, is currently in place now? And in your opinion, do you think that's sufficient or do we have to up that game moving forward?
So the standards on which codes are based are standards that control odors and contaminants that are produced inside of the building. They're not infection control standards. And so we ventilate a certain amount per person because that controls the bioeffluent, the odor-producing things that they emit. And we ventilate a certain amount based on floor area to remove volatile organic compounds and other contaminants. And we have filters to catch some of the coarser particles, but nothing to do with infection control. And when you look at healthcare facilities, they have much more stringent air quality requirements that translate into more ventilation and better filtration.
Mm-hmm. I remember a number of years ago, a couple of the major manufacturers of heating and ventilating equipment, both commercially and residentially, had developed these air purifiers that I was part of a meeting. They said, well, these filters were, you know, designed for the military, and they can actually capture and filter out anthrax, but we can't say that because we don't want to scare people. But those types of high performance filters have existed. It's just that they perhaps aren't put into play on a regular basis, right?
Yeah, that's right. We certainly don't use HEPA filters for filtering the air in central HVAC systems, but those filters have been around since the early days of the nuclear industry, and they work very well, 99.97% efficient or better for 0.3 micron particles. So that removes just about any PM from the air, and we have other ways of controlling gaseous air contaminants.
So I have to imagine that there's lots of conversations about, you know, it certainly seems like this virus that we're in right now is going to be around for a while, and as we try and adapt the ventilating and filtering of the air inside these large buildings has to be a pretty hot topic these days, as well as, are you considering how we can do this residentially in our own homes?
Sure. If we're thinking about ASHRAE standards, we have standards for both residential buildings and non-residential, and I think those standards will change in some ways to protect us better against infections, which may mean more ventilation. But in particular, I think because it's the efficient way to do it, higher efficiency filters, and that works in both homes and also in office buildings, schools, etc.
It's been a lot of conversations on the residential side. You know, a lot of HVAC contractors have always told people, you know, don't use those high performance filters; they're bad for the system. You know, just use these 99-cent ones, and I've always advocated that, you know, even a low-grade pleated filter does a much better job than a spun fiberglass. Do you have an opinion on those higher-efficiency filters that people can, you know, buy at the hardware store or the home center?
Well, you know, the MERV rating scale, ASHRAE's rating scale, rates filters, and I've upgraded my own house to the highest that our air handler will take, which is MERV 11. If you could get the MERV 13, that would be great. But it's just a retrofit that perhaps there's some possibility of damaging the equipment, but I think that's something that can be assessed. In new equipment, I think we would like to see much higher filter efficiencies, because not only does high efficiency help protect us when there are seasonal infections going around, probably the worst indoor air quality problem we have is the results of particulate matter exposure. World Health Organization estimates 7 million deaths per year globally prematurely due to exposure to fine PM. So that's something that is just generally good to to do for our homes.
I know that one of the hot products that's been around for a long time in the residential are these, these ERV, right? These energy recovery ventilators, which I guess are residential versions of what is in larger buildings. Do you have an opinion on those as far as, again, I'm not an epidemiologist, but it certainly seems like the constant reminder with this virus and any kind of virus really is fresh air. And it certainly seems like any way we can get some fresh air into our homes, especially during the winter months, would be key.
Sure. And of course, the typical home has plenty of windows, but we know from studies of how people behave that they generally don't open windows to improve the air quality. They do it when it looks like the temperature is nice outside. So I think having mechanical ventilation from homes to guarantee a minimum ventilation supply is a good idea. And if we're going to do that, we want to do it at minimum energy costs. So having energy recovery and using ERVs is another good idea.
Yeah. Very interesting. It's a really interesting topic. I would imagine as you sit in the classroom with a lot of these aspiring engineers, this has got to be a whole new topic of conversation. Maybe not a whole new topic, but it just has to be something that I would imagine that the students are pretty engaged in.
They're becoming so. You know, I think it's a weakness of the way we educate people for the building industry that they mostly learn about physics and how to do energy balances and to conserve energy. And we don't teach nearly enough about human factors, about the effect of indoor environments on the occupants. And I think that is emerging as something that is finally getting its due for the importance that it has.
That's great. Well, it's really good information, and I really appreciate getting your perspective. Professor William Bonfouth is Professor of Architectural Engineering at Penn State University. I really do appreciate you taking the time this morning and giving us your perspective on this. I hope you stay healthy and well, and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Lou. My pleasure. Have a good day.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this. Wait.
I know you hurt too, but what else can we do? Tormented and torn apart.
Any idea, Don?
I unfortunately, I'm failing you, Lou. This one's over me. I feel so bad.
Joe?
Is it Air Supply?
Air Supply!
Oh, brand coming through.
Brand. Joe
Thank
gets
you,
it.
Joe.
I have no idea what song it is, but...
It doesn't matter.
It's good.
But it's Air Supply.
There you go. There you go.
It could have been any song by Air Supply.
I was hoping you'd do Love is Like Oxygen by Inexus.
Oh, listen, once we started with all this, Lindsay starts texting me, we could use this, we could do this, we could do this.
Right.
Is there anyone out there? Because it's getting harder and harder to breathe. There's so many breathe songs. Just breathe.
Right.
Faith Hill song.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of them.
But there's no Air Supply.
No. There is no Air Supply.
Thank you, Joe.
Now we got to find a song that has references modern plumbing.
Oh, right.
They're out there. You know they're out there.
There's got to be some country song about my broken pipe or my toilet leaking. I'm sure somebody's got something. Anyway, interesting stuff. And open up those windows today. Get some fresh air in the home. That will really make a difference. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Barry. Really? Barry, who's in Cary? Hi, Barry.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
Well, I have a shower that does not balance the pressure, so we get randomly scalded or cold in there. And I wondered if it's possible to just replace the cartridge to do that, or do you have to replace the whole shower unit?
How old is that valve?
I don't know. It's in a home that I bought.
I mean, because if it's less than 25 years old, it should already have a balancer. It should have a balancer already in it, and it may be that you can just adjust it. But it could, it could be that the car, is it a single, it's a single lever?
Yeah.
Okay. So it could be that, you just need to replace that valve, but it should be an anti-scald, and there might be an adjustment on there for you to adjust the pressure. Now, normally, if you're in it, you know, and no one flushes the toilet, whatever, you get plenty of hot water, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know the brand?
No, I can't find it anywhere on the faceplate or anything.
Okay. When you take the faceplate off and you have that, when you have the centerpiece there, there may be looks like a gear. Do you see that at all?
I haven't gone to that far yet.
Okay. If you do, that may be an adjustment there. But if the valve works and it turns on and off, no problem. What I would do is shut the main valve off of the water, take that all off, pull that off, put a rag on the tub floor so you don't drop any pieces and parts, and then pull that off, go to the hardware store and say, I need one of these, and then put it inside there. They may be able to tell by the cartridge to say, oh, it's a Delta. Oh, it's a Moen. And then what you may want to do is then look online to see if you can find the instructions to give you step-by-step on how to adjust the anti-scald so that it works properly for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, by the way, you know, I've been talking about this. This year is my 25th anniversary here at WGN Radio. Back in 1995, I started as a guest on Bob Collins' show, and in honor of that anniversary, we're giving you a chance to win some of my favorite things. Each week, we'll feature different products or services that you can win. Congratulations to Roger Zellers of Crown Point, who is the winner of last week's prize, a $300 Ace gift card for up to 6 gallons of Magnolia Home by Joanna Gaines Paint. This week's prize, a $280 Ace Hardware gift card and 2 rolls of T-Rex duct tape. This duct tape's awesome. Great for indoor and outdoor use. The premium adhesive of T-Rex has the ability to stick to rough and dirty surfaces through all weather conditions and temperatures. Use it on any of your projects, indoor or outdoor, big or small. T-Rex tape is available at your local Ace Hardware store. And if you'd like to enter, visit WGNRadio.com/contests. That's WGNRadio.com/contests. This contest ends tomorrow, Sunday, at 11:59 p.m. So get your entry in today. Sponsored by T-Rex Duct Tape. Available at your local Ace Hardware. Ace, the helpful place. And stay tuned next week when we announce the winner and next week's favorite thing. It's 8:57 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the
moon. Yeah, I just got some new jeans.
Let me play among the stars.
Just thought I'd let everybody know. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Ace Hardware. Welcome back. 877-213-4-LOU.
Hold my hand.
A big happy birthday to the number one son at the Manfredini household, Quinn Manfredini. Tomorrow, he is going to turn 27 years old. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show that my wife was pregnant with him at the age of 27, which is pretty it's kind of a watershed moment as a mother to think about your son being this age. And he's a terrific young man. I know you've heard me talk about him for his whole life, and as long as I've been on this radio station, I'm blessed to have four wonderful children, and this one was the first one we had, and we love him very much. The one thing that you are blessed with at your time of being a parent is these cell phones that you can record everything with. I mentioned that the fact that you needed to have you have to have a video camera to record stuff, and one of the things we never thought of back then was recording audio of your kids, because the voices, he's a 27-year-old man, right? He's got a voice almost, if not deeper than mine right now. And so my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Mary Beth's sister Nora and her husband Matthew, Matthew found a voicemail message from Quinn that he sent me a few years ago that evidently somebody wasn't feeling well. I'm going to say that Quinn is 4, maybe 5 years old on this thing. And when I play it, it is a bittersweet thing because as a parent of an adult child, you know, you're super proud of them and he's going to get married and to the beautiful Amy. And we're so excited about that. But then you're always thinking when you look at these old pictures and you hear things like this, that boy, did that go by fast.
Nora, Matt, Quinn, and I wonder how Nora's feeling and Matt's feeling. So I'll call you back when you're home. Bye. I'll call us back. Which button should I push?
The red one, yeah.
The red
one? Okay. Oh, wait. End of message.
So that is the sweetest thing, right?
So cute.
It's so cute. So he's still cute. He's just bigger.
He is cute.
He is cute. Happy birthday, Quinn. We love
you. Happy birthday.
Yeah. And
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, now what button do you push now?
That's been the story of my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of buttons here to push. It's still a very
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, apparently.
It does not. Please turn his microphone off. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's get back to your phone lines right now. This is Kathy, who's calling in from Byron. Hi, Kathy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi.
Hi.
Good. Thank you. I have a question about, I don't even know what I would call it. We have a master bathroom that has the toilet and a shower stall kind of separate from the tub and sink area. There was a door there, but we've never put the door on. And when we moved in, we cleaned the walls and painted it. And there was like, the only way you can explain it is if it were red, it would look like blood dripping down the walls like you see in horror movies. But it's a waxy substance. It's kind of got a waxy feel to it. We cleaned and painted the walls, and it happened again. And then when we painted again, we've cleaned and painted it twice. Do you have any idea what it would be or where it'd be coming from?
Wait. We're talking about the walls themselves, not anything to do with the shower.
No, it's the actual wall. It's not the shower. It's an outside wall, like the garage. We're above the garage, and it's like an outside wall. But, yeah, it's not the shower tub. It's the actual painted wall.
So when you paint it, it bleeds through?
No, it's like it's new. It's cleaned. We've cleaned it off, and then we've painted it fresh, and then it kind of happens again.
Hmm. And it's just this outside wall?
Yep, it's just the outside wall.
What is the exterior? What is it, a frame house, a brick house?
It's a frame house.
Okay. And that outside wall where this is occurring, is there a window there or no?
Well, it's not the actual outside wall. It's to our garage attic.
It's to our garage.
On the other side of the wall is the garage attic.
And if you go to the other side of that wall and you look at that, what do I see? Do I see insulation?
Yes.
All right. I mean, the only thing that I can think of, the fact that it keeps happening, is that you've got some sort of water leak or moisture, high moisture content, that's being absorbed through the drywall. I mean, if you're continuing to paint this and it still comes through, then there has to be something permeating through that. I would go into that crawl space of the attic, remove the insulation, see if you see any evidence of water or moisture that's on the back side of that that could be... Is it happening everywhere on the wall or just certain spots?
It's kind of like drip marks, and it's a waxy substance.
From the top.
Yeah, it's like dripping down from the top. Right. I mean, that's what it appears like.
Right. So, I mean, maybe it could be, a part of the framing that's on that wall, and it could be a board. Let's say they used a piece of treated, or they used a piece of cedar, you know, the carpenters when they built it, and that, when it gets hot, the tannins or the oils coming from that could be dripping down. But the inspection has to start on the backside. take the insulation off, look at the framing members, the wood there, that top, whatever that plate is, the horizontal wood plate that's over the top, really take a look at that and see if you see any evidence of dripping on the backside. If that's there, maybe that board needs to be replaced because it's permeating through the drywall and causing that to give you the phenomenon of this dripping. Either that or you have a ghost.
Yeah, that time of year it could be.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, I have no expertise when it comes to that, and it kind of freaks me out a little bit. But I bet it's something with that board at the top that is wicking or leaking some sort of oil or tannin that's bleeding through, which could be a problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:17 in the morning. Oh, are we going to do our when do we do the cocktails?
After the break. Nochino. Well,
when we come back, it's Nochino. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 9:21 in the morning. It's time now for the segment I'm calling I'm Not Drunk, I'm Just Drinking. We the drink this week, which we flipped around a little bit.
I clearly had been drinking too early.
Well, this was supposed to be our last drink, but it's going to be drink three. So be patient with us. I wanted to have Lindsay participate in this as well. And so I'm like, hey, don't forget you're recording the drink for this week. And we got our wires crossed. The only reason I bring that up is that we want to make sure that this product is available when you go to the liquor store because it's delish. Okay, so this week's drink is called the Nochino and Cider, okay? And it's a holiday drink recipe. It features the newest release, Nochino, which was harvested in the spring and is now ready to drink just in time for the holidays. So this is really a good one coming up with the holidays. You're going to really like this. It is, well, it says here on my list it's Lou approved, but this week it's Lindsay approved. Take a listen.
All right, this weekend's Whiskey Acres cocktail that I am preparing is the Nochino Walnut Liquor and Cider. If this doesn't scream the holidays, I don't know what does. All right, so I've got the kettle on the stove, and it's clearly ready. I am going to pour in about 5 or 6 ounces of the steaming hot water. And then I'm going to take some of the Nochino Walnut Liqueur, which I don't think I have ever had, and pour in about 1.5 ounces of the good stuff. Now, it says to garnish with a cinnamon stick, which I don't have, so I'm just going to tap a little of the ground cinnamon that I found. Give it a little stir. Take a little sip. Oh, ha! Maybe cool it off a minute. Try it again. Yum! Wow! That'll warm you right up. And wake you right up. Makes me want to go sit by the fire.
Head on over to WGNradio.com/make-this-drink to get this recipe. And in case you missed any of the other ones featured, you'll find them all there. Cheers. You said it would have been a great thing to walk around on Halloween with.
I like my husband's the big bourbon drinker. If I'm going to drink it, I want it to be like in a warm mug. And so I thought this would have been great for trick-or-treating, like when we were walking the kids around.
Yeah.
I also wonder, so around the holidays, a big thing in our family is to drink those Tom and Jerry drinks. They're like warm. It's almost like an eggnog. It's a really thick
batter.
Very Wisconsin. But you put like rum and whatever. And this, I'm thinking.
And you serve it in a ceramic mug too, right? The Tom and Jerry's. Is that what you do?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I'm excited. I'm going to bring this bottle if it makes it to Christmas.
Don't forget, Whiskey Acres is the award-winning farm-crafted whiskey made in DeKalb, Illinois. And that drink, which was supposed to be week 4, is actually week 3. Nochino. Don't give me that look. Why are you giving me that look? What?
Me?
Yeah,
what was that? That was my fault. There was a little mix-up. Okay, let me tell you also, though. We've got a $50 Whiskey Acres gift card to give away as well.
Oh, nice.
Let's not forget that. So, if you want to text us, the 7th texter to 312-981-7200. Just text the word bourbon to 312-981-7200, and I will call you back, and we'll get your information.
That's awesome. Go. That's great. What number? What number, texter?
312-981-7200.
That's great. All right. So that next week will be our last one. I think we're going to talk to the Whiskey Acres folks as well. Next week's drink is going to be, I'm going to do this one, because this is the Whiskey Acres Bottle in Bond Bourbon. Neat. Actually, your husband should have done that one, because he loves a nice, neat bourbon. But anyway, check that out. Great stuff. Really good stuff. And I love the whole Whiskey Acres line of products. They're really, really good. 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568. This is Walt in Tinley Park. Walt, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
I got a sump pump situation. When it goes on, it goes on and off for like 30 to 60 minutes. And sometimes even when it hasn't rained in a while. I know it's pumping water because I can go outside and I can see it coming out. So I'm not sure what to do.
Well, wait one second. You said it will go on and run for 30 minutes, and will it be pumping water for 30 minutes?
No. It goes on and off for 30 to 60 minutes. In other words, it pumps for a little bit, it shuts off, and then it starts up again.
Oh, I see. Okay. How old is that pump?
I think it was put on in 2017.
Okay. One of the things that I want you to try is unplug the pump and see where the water lands. Let me ask you this. Is the switch on the pump, is it a tether or is it part of the body of the motor? The switch of the pump. So the reason is this: if you unplug that, if you unplug the pump while you're standing there, you know, the water level, if you've got water there, my guess is what's happening is it's just sitting there and the water will rise a little bit and causing it to turn on and off. If we raise the level of the pump and or the switch, so if it's a tethered switch, meaning that it's like a ball and it's on a cable and it rises up, maybe what you do is just pull that up a little bit. If you unplug the cord and the water in the sump pump is, you know, at least a foot below the top, just, you know, water seeks its own level, and it's there, raise up that switch so that it's just below that level. I don't care if the pit holds a little bit of water, but that will cause the pump to run less often if the sump pump switch is integrated into the pump, meaning that it's part of a housing on the top. Then you actually have to raise the entire pump, which means you may have to cut the pipe that leads up into the, if there's a check valve, there should be a check valve, and pull that up so that it raises that level, holds more water in there, and then won't run as often.
Well, one thing we did earlier in the year is we had a plumber friend, and he raised the pump by putting a brick underneath it, so it raised it, but it still continued to do that.
Okay, you could have a faulty switch, okay? That is not out of the realm, even with a 2017 pump. And if it is a tethered switch, you can replace that switch. Even if it's a mounted one, the pump may be fine, but maybe you need to replace the switch. So maybe your plumber friend, you could talk to them about doing that for you so that you get this taken care of. You want to make sure that the thing is running right. And if you've already raised it to accommodate for it holding the water level, that might not be an option for you, and maybe it is that you need a new switch.
Okay. And I got one other question.
Real quick.
What do you recommend for the bottom of chairs for an oak floor?
Are they wood chairs?
Wood chairs.
Okay, so there's felt pads you can buy at the hardware store, but there's ones that have a little metal ring that you actually hammer onto the legs, not with self-adhesive. Ace sells them. You turn the chair upside down, you place this with your fingers, and you hit it with a hammer, and it drives into the leg and holds really firmly, and that's what I would do to protect your hardwood floors. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:30 in the morning. When we come back after news, we're going to have our Just Text Me segment. Don't go away.
Time for Just Text Me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy, look.
It's that easy.
And send.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
It's so funny how we don't talk anymore.
Time for Just Text Me. We go through 2 to 3 text messages that you send us at 312-981-7200. You got some text messages for me?
I do. This is from Jan. She says, I have a dynamic air filter on the furnace. It uses blue spun something filters that fit in a cage sort of thing. Can that... I love Jan, by the way. She's my kind of girl. Can that blue filter be changed out in any other type of filter?
Okay. If it's a washable type of filter, probably not. If you're somebody that uses these washable filters, we're talking a lot today about indoor air quality. And I thought it was very interesting when I was talking to Professor Bonfelt over at Penn State University. You know, I talk to professors here on House Smarts Radio. Very smart. Yeah, you know, talking to the professor out of Penn State. We were talking off the air about the fact that HEPA filtration, and he even mentioned it when we had our conversation about the fact that it's been around since the nuclear program back in the 40s, and it is still tried and true. Now, we can't use HEPA filtration, not can't, but it's just not designed for a regular filtration system because it's, you know, the velocity of the air and everything. But these more high-efficiency furnace filters that you can literally buy off the shelf, we need to start using those. That is my biggest recommendation for the winter season, is that you need to upgrade to that. If you're using washable filters, they're just not as effective as this. And I would rather you hire an HVAC contractor to come in and modify that sleeve, which it may take them to do that, whether you call Dykstra or you call Perfect Home Services to retrofit that. Now, they also have air purifying systems that are even better than what I'm describing, but that's an investment. If you can afford that, then absolutely do that, because it will make a huge difference. But whatever it's designed for, you need to stick with it. But if it's washable and you want to upgrade to more efficient systems, then go with a higher efficiency pleated filter that you can insert into the sleeve. Text message number 2.
All right, I have a dresser from 1950s, from the 50s. I would like to clean up the hardware, but I don't want to purchase more hardware. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, if it's solid brass, which it potentially could be, I would remove the hardware, I would get some rubber gloves, and I would buy a container of Brasso.
Sorry. I tried Brasso, but it didn't really work.
What are you, altering the...
No. I thought maybe we could end it there, but I... But we couldn't, because you suggested brass.
Well, so...
Any other suggestions, Lou?
But she doesn't say that it's brass, or it is brass. If it is brass, well, then it might not be... It may not be brass, and it may be a painted finish on there, and that color that you see may be like an antique brass finish that didn't work. But what I was going to say, if it is solid brass, go back with the Brasso and then use steel wool. 00 steel wool, and use that to work it through and let the cleaner sit on there. The biggest thing with Brasso or any kind of cleaner, you got to apply it, let it sit for 10 minutes, then go at it with the steel wool and clean it all up. If that doesn't work, then it may be some antique finish that's more of what they call a pot metal, that it is what it is, and you may just need to replace that if you want to update the hardware.
Got it. The next full text message, I'll read you the entire thing. Sorry. Lou, we cleaned the screen in our kitchen faucet and had black and blue granules on the screen. They were the size of large grains of sand. No recent plumbing work. What could this be?
Well, it could be that your water heater has a thing called a dip tube that goes in there. A lot of times those pipes are blue. And as they start to decay and peel apart, that sediment can come in through the hot water. Assuming you have modern plumbing like copper piping and whatnot, there's a good chance that it's some kind of deterioration of the dip tube in the hot water side that's giving you those particulates. If you're, you know, on a regular basis, if you keep that clean, you know, it shouldn't be a problem. But if you notice that it keeps coming back, then you may have to consider replacing the water heater. Remember that the average life of a water heater is 10 years. And so if your water heater is more than that, you can be proactive and replace it, because you'll get a better price, as opposed to, oh my gosh, I need hot water tomorrow, and the plumber has to come out on an emergency basis. That's Just Text Me. Thank you very much, everybody. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. This is Lucy in Cary. Hi, Lucy.
Yes. Hey, hi, Lou. Great talking to you. I've got this problem with the furnace. When we change it over from air conditioning to heat, it just vibrates and rattles really, really bad. My husband has tried putting, you know, foam around the sides, old towels, annealing pad, everything, you know, to stop the vibrating, and nothing helps.
Okay, I'm a little confused. When you say, so in other words, you mean, when you're using it as an air conditioner, you're not getting...
It
doesn't give you any of these vibrations.
No.
But that, now that the furnace is on, you get these right. vibrations in the furnace itself.
Yes.
Hmm.
It follows, you know, through, it goes into the walls. It makes a lot of noise up in the closet next to our bedroom. You know, because it's the room over the furnace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that it's an interesting issue, because, you know, the air handler and furnace and everything that's working, the only difference when you go to the heat is that now those burners are going, which, when's the last time we had this serviced, Lucy?
Maybe like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and has this been going on since then, or is it a new thing?
No. I know for sure it was last year.
Okay.
Because my husband did the same thing. He put, you know, tried using the foam and the towels and the kneeling pad. Something worked, and it stopped vibrating.
Right.
So that we could sleep again.
You're right. No, I understand. But see, this is what concerns me, is the fact that when your air conditioner is running, okay, so that unit outside's working, and then inside, the blower motor is turning. When you switch over to heat, that blower motor is still turning like it normally does. So that makes me think that the vibration's not coming from the blower motor, but it may have something to do with the burners and the gas that's causing some kind of vibration. I really, on this, would get a HVAC contractor to come out and inspect this, because I'm worried about the overall safety of this unit, and I would defer to a qualified HVAC contractor to come out and take a look at this. Do you have someone that you work with out in your area?
Not really.
All right, so we got a couple of sponsors here that you could call. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
I sure do.
All right, ready? Dykstra Home Services is one. DYKSTRA Home Services.
Okay.
And the other one is Perfect Home Services.
Okay. Got them.
Call those two and see who can come out and help you. I want that inspected and made sure that it's in good shape. There's something not right. You shouldn't be getting a vibration like that that doesn't even allow you to sleep. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Scott, who's in Villa Park. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Morning. So my question is, I have an older house that's about 110 years old, and it just the electric bills are outrageous. All the light bulbs are changed over to LEDs for the most part, so I'm just trying to figure out what can be done to the house to maybe help with the electric bill to lower it.
I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is the lighting is really typically not a huge part of your electric bill. I mean, doing the LED works. How do you heat the home?
It's hot water boiler, the furnace. Like, it's got radiant heat and radiators.
Right, so it's all it's fed by natural gas?
Yes.
Okay, and so other than the lighting, I mean, are you someone that, do you have an air handler for air conditioning, or do you use window air conditioners? What do you do when it's hot?
It has two, so when it's hot, it has two air conditioners, one for the second floor, one for the first floor.
So two.
And it's kind of inefficient because the second floor air conditioner, the attic has been rehabbed into like a master bath area.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets hot up there. And so the air conditioner, the thermostats are screwed up, I think, as far as where they're placed.
Right.
Because that always is running and keeps cold upstairs. So talk about a $400 electric bill in the summertime.
Right. What about this time of year?
It was $200 last month, $215.
Yeah, but you were
just
okay.
Yesterday.
So my guess is Scott that this all has to do with your air conditioner. Your boiler doesn't really use that much electricity. I mean, the pump, you know, hardly uses anything at all. The lighting is a small portion, and so all of this has to be coming from those air handlers, and maybe from an investment standpoint, if we're going to stick in this house, you may want to address these air handlers. Is it all like ductwork throughout the second floor area and everything?
Yeah, but I think it was, I don't know what exactly it was. It was like redone because they're like little circular tube holes or something.
Oh, so it's a Unico system, so it's high pressure. Like
yeah.
when you look at it. You know, but in other words, when you look up at the register, it's a round circular thing, and when air comes out, you can really feel it coming out, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That thing, while it's super efficient and a great way to, you know, retrofit a central air system, it's an energy hog. So what you need to do and consider doing is, and you could easily put pen to paper to figure this out. I would almost abandon that system and go with what's called a split system, a ductless system, where you can put registers, these cartridges in each one of those rooms, up to five running off of a super high efficiency condensing unit outside that will probably cut your bill in half during the summer.
Okay, so what is it? So you
it's called a
cartridge?
It's called a split system. It's called a ductless air conditioner.
Okay, ductless air conditioner.
And talk to them about abandoning the Unico system.
Yeah.
And doing this. And what's unique about this is each one of those cartridges that go into that room have their own thermostat.
Oh, wow.
So now we're not cranking up one room because the room in the back is so hot. That's where you could buy like a chunk of the boar's head turkey breast and you could slice it on the meter outside.
Oh yeah.
Ductless system. Talk to an HVAC contractor about coming to look at that. You like the whole slicing of the boar. You see, you're not a meat eater, so you don't even know what boar's head is, right? You've never even bought that.
I do. I get it for my husband all the time.
Really? You know, it truly is the best lunch meat. Mm. 9:50 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, Lunch Meat Is Us. We'll be right back.
This is Nick Offerman. This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WD. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There is nothing that is wrong wanting you to stay here with me.
Congrats to Linda and Elgin, actually to her husband who won the $50 gift card to Whiskey Acres. 877-2134-LOU. And by the way, our last caller is going to get a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design-built company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding and windows. Working remotely? Maybe you don't have enough room. Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace for your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com. You can call them at 773-661-0606. And we're going to give that call, that hat, to Linda, who's on the line. Hey, Linda. Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Loud and clear.
What makes my, you know, the drain that goes in my, where my washing machine, where the water goes? When the water goes down there, it doesn't happen when it's dry, but when the water goes down, it gets stinky sometimes.
Which drain?
My laundry goes into a tub.
Yeah.
It drains into a tub, and that's what gets stinky.
Okay.
You know that,
yep,
when it's going, only when it's running, you know, when it's wet.
Right. So here's what you're going to do. So in that laundry tub, I want you to get something called a pipe, a tube brush. Okay, remember
tube brush.
Like, remember the remember the brushes you used to clean baby bottles with? Did you have any babies?
Yes.
Okay, so it's something like that. You're going to stick that brush in that drain, and you're going to pour a little Pine Sol full strength over the top of it, and you're going to scrub the drains. If you go to the House Smarts YouTube channel, there's a video of me doing this, and it's the grossest, most satisfying thing you're ever going to do. Because the gunk is on the side of that drain, and you can be like super embarrassed that your drains are so dirty. But it's okay. This happens to everybody. You clean that.
Okay.
You clean it, and that odor, you got to go all the way down to the trap. Once you clean that, it's going to freshen that up, and then you won't have that smell anymore. And it's something you can do in the vanity. It can something you can do in the shower. Any places where you have stinky drains, you can do that. 9:56 in the morning. Hey, don't forget, our phone number, 877-2134-LOU. I go for another hour in California. If you didn't get through during these 3 hours, feel free to call us, 877-2134-LOU. We'll be right back.